Last Sunday, many of us celebrated Mother's Day with a special dinner. Maybe chocolate was included in that at the end, I don't know. Food is central to so much that we do, to so many family celebrations at Christmas, Mother's Day, Thanksgiving, Easter, birthdays, and so on. So much of life is eating together. Have you noticed how much eating and drinking also goes on in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? 58 times, I checked, 58 times some form of the word for feast or banquet is found in the four Gospels. Jesus is always talking about food and banquets and feasts. His first miracle was recorded in the Gospel of John, happened at a wedding banquet where he turned the water into wine. It was all about the feast there. Jesus told a parable about a king who invited all of his friends to this banquet, and they all made excuses and didn't show up. So he invited all the poor and the neglected in the community instead, and they all came to the huge feast. Remember the parable of the prodigal son, where the son demands his share of the inheritance, and he goes off and he wastes it and crazy living, and then he comes home, and the father welcomes him home, and then what happens? There's a huge feast at the end. The kingdom of heaven is sometimes described as one gigantic feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the saints down through history that are present. And I'm thinking, that's a big table. Jesus was accused of the religious leaders of his day for being a glutton and a drunkard. The passion of the Christ, those last days of his life, began with a Passover celebration, a meal shared with his disciples. And then the resurrection appearances include a couple of meals in those experiences. Remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus? And then that scenario ends with Jesus sitting down and breaking bread with them. And then there's another time where the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, and they see on the shore and recognize that there's Jesus. And what's he doing? He's preparing food. He's cooking fish over an open fire for them. At the Last Supper, Jesus gives his disciples a new sacred meal that would be celebrated by all of his followers until his return, by all the subsequent generations. It's one of the two sacraments practiced by all Christians throughout the world today. You know, we have different traditions and how we practice and how we celebrate that. But all Christians celebrate the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29 is one of the passages about the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. And it reads, "During the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. And taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins." And then he adds, "I'll not be drinking wine from this cup again until the new day, when I drink with you in the kingdom of my Father." Now, the first thing that I note in that passage, in that text where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, is that Jesus uses three imperative verbs there. And you remember an imperative is a command. And then he follows those with a negative imperative. The three imperatives are take, eat, and drink, used by Jesus in instructing the disciples to partake in the bread and the cup that symbolized his body and his blood. All three are second person imperatives in Greek, which is the strongest way to give a command. The text here makes it pretty clear that those disciples and all of those who follow them, which includes us, that we are commanded to partake, to eat, to drink at his table. So if you want to be included in the new covenant by which God provides the forgiveness of your sins, then you must take hold of the bread and take the cup of Christ. Take himself into your life and become a part of his life. Last week we had a different text. Some of you may remember it. It was when the mother of James and John came and asked Jesus if her two sons could sit on his left and right in the kingdom. Remember that? And then Jesus said, he asked, turns to James and John, and he says, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink?" "We're able," was their answer, even though Jesus knew they had no idea what they were talking about or what they were committing to. He affirmed the intent of their hearts. He said, "You will indeed drink my cup." And now at the Last Supper, he commands them all to drink of his cup. And this command is to participate in the covenant of forgiveness. But that covenant requires a sacrifice of surpassing value: his very life. Partaking of the bread and cup means receiving the benefits of his sacrifice for us, and it means living a life of sacrifice with him. Christ indwells each one who responds to the command to partake of his cup, and he's all about self-denial and sacrifice. He's all about a cross. His sacrifice goes on and on in the lives of every one of his followers. And I'm not sure we realize that when we come to the Lord's table, that not only are we accepting his sacrifice on behalf of us, we are saying we're going to participate in his life. And you note how Jesus, he gives thanks before sharing in that cup. One of the early church fathers, Chrysostom, he wrote, "He took the bread and gave thanks to teach us how we ought to celebrate this command, this sacrament, and to show that he does not unwillingly come to the passion. He gives thanks and then partakes of the bread and the cup, and the next day goes to the cross." Chrysostom also says, he's teaching us so that whatever we may suffer, we may bear it thankfully. Well, after they share in the bread and the cup of Christ, Jesus, then he adds the negative imperative. In the Greek, it's oume, two words. "I will oume, by no means," or "I will never ever drink from this fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in the kingdom of my Father." Now there's a number of ways to express the negative in the Greek language. Primarily, you would use either ou, which would simply be translated like no or not, or me, which would be translated the same way. And you see those over and over again in the Greek language in the New Testament. It's just a simple way to say no or to express a negative. But on those occasions, when ou and me are together, they mean the same thing, and it's done for emphasis. It's an imperative. To use them together is to state the negative in the most emphatic way. "I will not ever, by no means, partake of this again until I partake new with you in the kingdom of my Father." What's the implication of that? He's on his way to suffer, and he invites us to participate in his life. But suffering does not have the last word. Being with Christ in the presence of the Father at the table, that's the last word. This is our destiny. Sacrifice leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to a new cup, a new banquet, a new kingdom, in a new kingdom in the presence of the Father. So that the Last Supper and every subsequent celebration of the Lord's Supper, including this one today, is a taste of what is to come. It is partaking in the partaking of the bread and the cup. We remember His sacrifice that provides the forgiveness of our sins. And in partaking, we accept His sacrifice and we step up to participate in a life of self-denial and sacrifice on behalf of others. And in partaking, we celebrate the sweet love of Christ with us today and the fulfillment yet to come. The peace of Christ we now know is but a foretaste of what we shall know. The joy of Christ with us in this fellowship is but a chocolate kiss, a taste of the joy of Christ we shall know with all of those who've gone before us into eternity. The love we treasure now in family, in friends, and in knowing Christ merely whets the appetite for being fully enveloped in His love when the kingdom comes in its fullness. In Isaiah's prediction that we read in the call to worship of the new heaven and the new earth, he declares that like all homecomings, this one's going to be marked by the ultimate party feast of God. And Jesus, too, constantly depicts salvation that He brings as a feast. And He left us a meal, what we call the Lord's Supper or communion, as a sign, as a foretaste of what is yet to come, the fulfillment that we all seek. I think one of the hard parts of living the Christian life is that we get frustrated that we don't live it and experience it completely, wholly. Sometimes those we love kind of let us down. Sometimes church doesn't turn out to be as wonderful as we hoped and thought. Sometimes we let our own selves down and we struggle to live up to the grace given to us. And so in this life of following Christ, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, but it's not yet complete in us. And part of the reason we go to this table and we take a little piece of bread and we eat it and we take that little cup and we drink from it is to remember, in the same way, this is not a complete meal. We don't have cornbread and potatoes and meat and gravy. Come to the Wednesday night communions and we have something like that. But this is just a symbol of the great banquet and feast yet to come for all of us. This table is the Lord's table. All who call on the name of Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to commune with Him at His table. And here's the way we practice this. We all come to the table when we're ready. The worship team's going to come back and they're going to play. And as they play, I want you to think about one particular part of your Christian life that you're most thankful for, and then be thankful that there's more to come. I want us to come with a sense of looking forward to being completely fulfilled in Christ. And then after you've taken a few minutes to meditate, and then you come and partake of the bread and the cup right at the table. And you may want to pause and give thanks right there, and then you can return to your seat. and remain in a state of meditation. Let's pray, and then we'll begin to come to the table to receive Christ. Lord God Almighty, we gather here because You're here. This is not about music so much, or preaching so much, or seeing our friends and neighbors and loved ones so much. It's about being in Your presence. And this table is Your table. This bread that symbolizes Your body, and this cup that symbolizes Your blood, we partake because we look to experience Your presence with us. So, Lord God, we pause and think back and give thanks for Your sacrifice on our behalf. We humbly partake of Your life, and we look forward to the fulfillment yet to come. In Christ's name, amen.